Luke chapter 10, verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. This evening, the title of the lesson is Martha, Martha. As I mentioned this morning when we were looking at Lazarus, we are looking at those three characters together. We'll go back and review a little bit from there, but this is some very important lessons to get from that. Before we get into the lesson, I want to welcome everyone that is here. And again, echo the words that were already mentioned. We had a good meeting just before the service began. We have accomplished a lot here this year. We're at peace. We're working the good. We're working together good. There's a lot of love here. Everybody's doing their part. We have a lot of plans for next year. We need a few more workers to help us carry them out, but we've got a lot of plans, and we just need to keep praying to the Lord that He will bless us. His name will be glorified, and we will lead other souls to Him. I want to begin in Luke chapter 10 at verse 38, and then we'll look at a couple other verses and then jump in and look at some lessons. So Luke 10, 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Again, just for a little background, I want to turn back to some verses we looked at this morning in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. We drop down in John 11, down to verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. You drop down to verse 38. And Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? And then move over to chapter 12, verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. So we have three accounts of Martha being mentioned. in John chapter 11, John chapter 12, and in our text here back in Luke. So, now when they went their way, Jesus was traveling toward Jerusalem. They came to a certain village. We learn from John 11:1 that this was Bethany. Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. As we read saw, Bethany was about 2 miles from Jerusalem on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. The time of these events is not specified. The language does not let us know whether the raising of Lazarus was before or after this encounter with Martha. Lazarus is not named here by Luke. And again, Luke deals more with the humanity of people, and we see where he is going to teach us a lesson about Martha from these two sisters. And as we get into the lesson, one of the things we need to understand, as I have on this slide, the heart that is only half conquered by Christ's peace will be easily tossed about when assaulted with the cares of this world. Christ wants our whole heart. If he only has half of our heart, we're going to be tossed about to and fro when the cares of the world come along. Martha comes before us here as one cumbered and troubled about her work. She was a servant, but she was a weary servant, a burdened servant, just at the point of breaking down. And there's some food for thought. There's some lessons from Martha that we need to learn. There's some lessons from Martha that I need to learn. So let's start and look at some of the positive things about Martha. Martha received Jesus. Martha received him into her house. Her receiving of him was proof of her faith in him. It would be vain to talk about our faith in Christ if we have not received him into our heart, into our heart. We need to receive him. If we have faith in Jesus, we need to receive him. Martha received Jesus. In John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So we have to start with receiving Jesus. And Martha received Jesus. Well, notice, she sat at his feet. Martha sat at his feet. In verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So if Mary also sat at his feet, we know that Martha sat at his feet. Sometimes I've heard people talk about this section that Mary was the only one sitting at the feet of Jesus and Martha was running back to and fro and she was too busy to even have time to sit down. But Mary also sat at Jesus' feet, so Martha was sitting there. This proves that Martha sat and listened to the words of Christ as well as Mary. Now, when it talks about sitting at his feet, this was a custom of sitting beneath the instructor. The phrase sitting at one's feet came to mean a disciple of someone else. Paul sat and learned at the feet of Gamaliel, Acts 22:3. Mary is described as sitting in John 11:20. And in contrast to active Martha, we see Mary, a quiet, childlike person that wants to learn. She's teachable. She has the spirit that's seeking after the truth. And the person that receives Jesus, we started with seeing that Martha received Jesus. The next logical step in that, the next logical progression, is that we want to sit at his feet. We want to learn from the feet of Jesus. This is the second step in the Christian life. Learning. Come unto me and I will give you rest. We learn first and then we get the rest. So notice something else about Martha that's positive. She was a worker. She was an active worker. She busied herself with much serving. She was not like we would talk about some Christians that are just sponges that try to soak up what somebody else does. She wasn't a spongy Christian. She wanted to work. We talk about people today that are pew sitters. They don't do much. Martha was an active worker. Martha was not only a hearer, but she was a doer. She not only sat at his feet, but she was a doer. She listened to his words. She would minister to him. Her service was no ordinary service. She had planned so much to do. She had this generous heart that wanted to accomplish much to honor Jesus. So that's good. But then we see where Luke tells us the things change a bit. Then we see that Martha became worried. Martha was cumbered about much serving. We are not always to be seeking. We need to find. We need to come to finding Jesus. And the seeker works actively to find Jesus and that joy that comes from finding Jesus. In verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. So in contrast to Mary at her master's feet, Martha was bustling about. She had all these anxious cares. She was overburdened with much labor. She's cumbered. That means she was perplexed. She was overoccupied with her domestic duties. They were weighing heavy on her, preparing the table for the entertainment of Jesus. And you just stop and step back for a minute and think about this, what we've said so far. And we saw this morning in the account of Lazarus that Jesus, he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He was in their house often. They were friends. They were close. They were intimate. And here Martha is right in the presence of Jesus, and she's missing who she is with. Is there a lesson for us today? You know, we come to the assembly. We come to the assembly. We want to honor and worship God, and sometimes we miss the whole point of why we are coming and who we are coming before. We're thinking, is this going to be okay? Does that look all right? Do things sound right? Did I say the right words? Did I stumble over this? We get so sidetracked and distracted coming before the Lord. So she became worried, cumbered. Jesus went to her home frequently. He wasn't a stranger. Martha came to Jesus quickly. She came into the room where he was sitting and asked that he tell Martha or Mary to help her. And it seems like she is reproaching Jesus, telling him to talk to her sister, but cumbered, distracted. Carest thou not? Don't you care? My sister, Lord, I am doing everything, and this sister of mine won't raise a finger, lay a hand to do anything. I don't want to miss anything. She needs to be doing something. And Jesus overlooked the rebuke that Martha gave him, and he looked into her heart and answered according to her good and to his own wisdom. And friends, whenever the work of the Lord brings upon us the carefulness and trouble, we've got to understand that somehow we've gotten away from the Lord's work. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn, and you shall find rest for your souls. So she's worried, and then we see Martha complains. Martha was distracted, verse 40, with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. The worried, encumbered worker is soon going to be found as a grumbler. They're going to, again, they receive Jesus, they sit at his feet and listen, then they start worrying. It's like, I know someone used to talk about the example, he'd say it's like some people just listen for the knock in the engine in their car. Their car's running fine, but they get in their car and they start going somewhere and they listen. I know it's going to act up. I know something's going to go wrong. And they're looking for trouble. They don't have peace. Martha's big task of much serving was self-imposed, and she, like all of those in the same circumstances, got burdened and wearied. When God gives us work to do, it should never be cumbersome for us to do. If it becomes cumbersome, we've got to stop, take a step back, and ask, what's going on? What's going on? Why is it cumbersome? Is it because I'm doing the wrong thing? Am I focused on the wrong thing? Am I not doing it out of love? Am I just doing it out of a duty? So those cumbered and grumbling workers who continually pour their grievances into the ears of their fellow servants ought to consider Martha. Martha and Mary were serving the Lord. Martha was complaining. And when a body of Christians are serving the Lord and they start complaining and grumbling to others, we need to remember Martha, because Martha is an example for us. Dare to be honest and say as she did, Lord, don't you care for me? Look at all that I've got to do. Don't you care that everybody else here isn't lifting a finger to do anything? That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude. We need to find out whether our anxiety about his service is pleasing to him. And again, do you think Jesus wants us to serve him with an anxious heart? He doesn't. We know he doesn't. He wants us to serve him out of love, out of joy. But Satan comes along and tries to rob that joy. Sometimes we don't put enough in. We don't soak in enough of his fountain of joy that we have in us to let it come back out. But we get distracted. We get caught up. I have this poem, The Daughter of Martha. It was written by James Burton Kaufman. There's the bed to make and the mail to meet, the bills to pay and a guest to greet, the phone to answer and a dress to press, the house to order and a child to dress. There's the shopping list and a million things as the duties mount and the doorbell rings. For Martha's daughter is a busy one, and a woman's work is never done. In summer and winter and day and night, she toils and finds in the task delight. She heals the hurt and foils the stroke, and proudly indeed she bears the yoke. But toiling hands at the last are stilled, and the toiler's place by another's filled. And the better part she might have won is forever lost when the day is done. Friends, when we talked this morning about Jesus going to Lazarus, and he said there are 12 hours in the day, and he had to work while it was day. And we said our day, our life is like a day. And then it's gone. And we need to work while it's day, while we are alive, but we need to understand to prioritize things, because the toiling hands at last are stilled and the toiler's place by another filled. When I have stopped working and I'm dead and gone, somebody's going to take my place. When that person dies, somebody's going to take their place. And do I have the right relationship with God, with Jesus, with my Creator? Have I focused on the weightier, the more important things in life? Or have I just gotten caught up in the business world, what you would call the administrative things, the paperwork things? We've got to focus on those things so that the better part she might have won is lost forever when the day is done. When we are lying in a casket, we don't want somebody to say, she might have done this, he might have done that, he might have made this influence if he hadn't been so busy doing this. Jesus was right in front of them. Both of them, they were sitting at his feet. One had her heart focused on Christ. One had her heart focused on things. So what happens next? In verse 41, we see that Martha was rebuked. Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." It's interesting how he repeats her name, Martha, Martha. He repeats it for emphasis, calling her attention to what he is about to say. Martha fretted with work, and Jesus kindly and calmly answered her outburst and said that she was anxious and troubled about many things. Are you anxious and troubled about many things? I know I fall into that trap. You ask me what I'm anxious and troubled about, and I can tell you half a dozen things after the service. And most of those things, I can't do a thing to change them. Can't do a thing to change them. Like, I was talking to Carol, how do you deal with people like that? And she mentioned this person that said, "It's not my monkey, it's not my circus." That's the way the people of the world look at things. It's not my problem, and somebody else has to deal with it, but they distract us. We are anxious and troubled by so many things in this world. All the cares of taking care of ourselves sometime take all of our energy. The cares of taking care of someone else, and then again, are we putting Christ first in our life? And notice, Jesus reproved her not for entertaining. Jesus did not rebuke her for her showing hospitality. Jesus did not rebuke her for the physical things that she was doing. He rebuked her for her state of mind. For her state of mind. She was worried and troubled about many things. Her spirit was restless. It was agitated. And it shouldn't have been that way on that occasion. And friends, it really shouldn't be that way on any occasion. But she was careful and cumbered. The one word expressing the inward worrying anxiety that her preparations should be worthy of the Lord. And sometimes, I've seen it in the past, people go to a service and everything has to be just so, just right. And we should do our best for the Lord. We should give our best. But sometimes you see people come in and they're like an army sergeant or somebody, and they just want everything just so, and then you don't even feel calm enough to worship God because someone is straightening this and moving that, and your mind is going in these different directions. I want to go back to Philippians chapter 4. We all know this, but it's worth reading at this time again. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." You stop and think at verse 5. Was Martha doing this? The Lord was literally at hand. She was sitting at his feet. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Friends, The Lord is at hand with us today. He should be dwelling. He should be reigning on our heart. He should be right beside us. He should be in us. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Friends, Martha was anxious about many things, but Jesus informed her that only one thing is needful. So here Jesus puts in contrast many things to one thing. We need to be reminded of that. We get distracted by many things, and there's really only one thing that is important. Martha was absorbed in the physical and the earthly. Some of us, we get caught up in that sometimes. Maybe not materialism, but the things of the world, the situations, compared to the spiritual things. Earthly, spiritual. Many things, one thing. There's only one thing that's important. There's only one thing. Doesn't matter all this stuff we get wrapped up in this world. When we breathe our last breath, there's only one thing that's important. Is Christ our Lord and King? Is He our Savior? Have we been living to serve Him? Have we been focused on Him or focused on other things? The one thing needful was a proper state of heart for receiving Jesus and receiving His truth. And which of these women, which of these ladies do you think was in a better mind to receive the words of Christ? Mary, who was sitting there quietly, peacefully, or Martha, that was distracted by all these things going on in her head? You can just see this little tornado going on in her head. And again, when we come to worship God, do we come like Mary, peaceful and quiet, or like Martha with all those tornadoes spinning in her head, worrying about this and worrying about that? And again, Christ did not rebuke her for being busy. He wants us to be busy, but He wants us to be focused on those important things. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. If we worship the Prince of Peace and we don't have peace in our life, we're missing something. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And again, we saw this morning when we were looking in John's account with Lazarus, and there were four different times it talked about Jesus' heart being troubled. His heart was troubled, he groaned, he was grieved. And then you get to chapter 14, verse 1, and it switches from him being troubled, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. And Jesus had his spirit troubled also, but he's telling us, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be like Martha, be like Mary. Matthew 6:25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And consider this also, if the Lord told Mary to go and help Martha, he would have partly justified her complaint. But did the Lord tell Mary, get up, Mary, get up, you lazy woman, go help your sister, she's busy. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said, you take too much on. The one thing you need is not helping hands, but a restful heart. And I pray, and I mentioned in the meeting here before service, we need more workers. I get frustrated sometimes. We need more hands to do the work. And then I've got to remind myself, we need that. Sometimes I just need a restful heart because I want to get more done. Mary had chosen that good part, and he will not take it from her. So Jesus isn't going to tell Mary, get up and go help Martha. So I said, we need to be more like a Mary than a Martha. I should take that back. We need Marys and Marthas. We need people with that quiet spirit that want to learn from Jesus. We need those people that want to be busy working, but we don't want to be busy doing busy work. We don't want to be distracted by the work. We don't want to be distracted even here. We've got a lot of plans for this building and for the community. We don't want to be distracted by this building to the neglect of the spiritual needs. Cumbered about much serving, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Rest in the Lord. So friends, you don't need a helping hand sometimes as much as you need a restful heart. And I read this account of Martha, and I know I need to learn to have that restful heart. So Martha's activity was not out of place. It was not out of place. It was out of proportion. She was serving Jesus. That was not out of place. It was out of proportion. She put too much priority on the serving and not enough on the listening to his words. Because again, when we are so busy and distracted, our heart is not going to be able to receive the word of the Lord and the blessings that we are going to get from that. Jesus did not condemn Martha's work, but her excessive attention to the material things. And that attention to the material things disturbed her peace of mind, and it robbed her of the benefit of receiving the Lord's instructions. Friends, we cannot get enough of the Lord's word. We need to focus on that one thing that is most important, not those many things. And we need to consider, as all of us, we're all a day closer, a year closer to the end of our life. When our hands are done working, have we done that one needful thing? Friend, if there's anybody here this evening that needs to respond to the heavenly invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing. Mm-hmm.